Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Let's kick off this episode with a discussion on solo parenting and how technology can bring people together to learn and to help one another. Well, that's the perfect segue into my special guest today, who's Dr. Marika Lindholm. She is the founder and CEO of ESME, which stands for Empowering Solo Moms Everywhere. And Marika realized that there was a steady rise in solo parenting, and she also recognized this changing climate with respect to American families. And through her own personal experience with single motherhood, she really became impassioned with helping other women who were facing the same challenges as she did. And by launching her platform, Marika created an online community that really is, it's a safe haven for solo moms. It's an endless library of resources, a networking tool, a writing and blogging platform, and you know, most of all, a private escape, all for the solo mom. Marika, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and what a great intro to ESME.com. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome, and your platform is just chock full with so many helpful tools and resources. And, you know, even before we go into the platform itself, maybe you could give us a little bit about the backstory and the inspiration behind Empowering Solo Moms Everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, the seed was planted over 15 years ago when I myself went through a divorce. I had been teaching at Northwestern University, and I actually taught courses where we dealt a lot with issues around inequality and feminization of poverty and all of the issues that women who are divorced, women who are widowed have to experience. And so theoretically, I had a really good handle on it. And then, you know, bam, I get I'm divorced with a 3 and a 5-year-old, and all of a sudden the theory comes to life emotionally. And I felt very vulnerable. I felt like it was super hard. And it became even exacerbated by the fact that I got pretty sick. And, you know, I had a blood disorder that then was resolved. But during the time, I felt so vulnerable. And I thought, what can we do to help moms in this situation? How do we connect moms? And, of course, as a single mom, I was just so overwhelmed I couldn't do it. And then flash forward, you know, I was looking for a project. I was remarried. I really wanted to dig in and do good work. And then voila, ESME.
Wow. Well, that is some story. And I'm, you know, hoping that you're all healthy now and you move through everything that you had to. But isn't it interesting how there you were teaching all of these things, but then when it happens, it's almost like, oh my gosh, now I've got to live it and I'm going to do something with it. When you launched your platform, you know, did you ever expect to see the way that women are using it or the way that they're taking advantage of it? And maybe you can even share what they're doing on your platform.
Well, I knew that I wanted to create a safe space, first of all. I knew that I wanted a place of connection. But then I did focus groups in Los Angeles and New York and Chicago to really get a sense of how women who were solo, you know, what they needed and how they would use it. So it was very self-consciously built around their responses. So we have chat rooms, we have Facebook groups, we have over 5,000 resources, and you're able to basically ask any question at any time, and other moms are going to come and answer it. We really wanted the moms to have the ownership of the site so that it wasn't experts coming down and sort of telling them how it is. We do have 20 experts in different categories that are there, and they have personal and professional expertise. But overall, it was this, you know, really organic development from those focus groups that made me realize that the moms themselves can contribute to answers and help each other out. So that's how they use it. They connect, they You know, we even have matching on the site where if you, say, are a solo mom with a child with special needs, you can be matched with other moms with children with special needs, because who knows better than someone going through a similar situation. So there's lots of ways to use it, lots of ways to take advantage of it. We also have a creative element to it. Women can write poetry and submit art and music. So it's also acknowledging, and this came out of the groups as well, it's like, you know, I'm not just a single mom. I'm not just a solo mom. I'm someone with a creative identity. I want to be inspired. I want to help inspire others. So that's also part of ESME.
That's wonderful, because when you're going through such a tough time, sometimes we lose that side of ourselves. I was a single mom as well. I only wish that there was an ESME around at the time that I was a single mom, but there wasn't. So you definitely, when you're going through challenges, it's hard to bring that creative and the inspiration out. So I really think that's wonderful. When you talk about a safe haven, do you feel it's a safe haven because women can talk openly and freely without judgment? Or is it a safe haven because you know that the people that you're talking to are no way, shape, or form related or connected to anyone you know who might be a part of your world as a single mother, or your ex husband for that matter? So how does that work? Right. Why is it a safe haven?
Well, you've hit on both, but both of those realities are true. One is that, it's actually a confidential site. So everyone has a username and everyone has icons. So you never have to reveal your name. And we really want to make it, this is a vulnerable population. We don't want, you know, exes and neighbors and necessarily when someone's going through this in the beginning, particularly when it feels so dramatic and traumatic, we want them to feel that, you know, that confidential space is created. So that definitely is part of it. And also just being able to, step away from, you're in a space with other people who get it. You know, you're not being judged. We're honoring solo moms. We're never, doing anything but saying how amazing they are.
So
inspire. It's our modern day superhero for sure, and that's how we approach it. And the safe, we even have safe spaces that are dedicated to particular areas. For example, domestic violence and bullying or addiction. So those don't show up on the site at all until you join. You get a sort of, we call it a key, but you have to join that safe space where the dialogue will only be around those issues. Then we have sister chat, which is, anyone can read that and look at it, but it is, again, it's all anonymous and user names. So you're never going to be, suffer any consequences for asking a question that might be awkward, embarrassing, or revealing. So it's really a place where you can, allow that vulnerability to come through. And generally, people support, and if there's any troll, they're immediately removed. We're very careful about making sure that it's a safe place.
Now, when you're in some of these areas, you mentioned domestic violence, addiction, cyberbullying, is that where there are experts available? And, is anybody in there to answer and help who has a professional background? Or is it really up to the person who, or the people that you're speaking to kind of say, hey, you should check out expert in the expert area? So or how does that work?
It's both. You know, like I said, we want the women to help each other out who are on the site. But we also do have 20 what we call resource guides. So, for example, our domestic violence guide, she's writing a book about domestic violence. She herself experienced domestic violence. She is someone who then can speak to it professionally and personally. You know, same with we have a divorce guide. We have childcare, wellness, addiction. Every guide has personal and professional experience that they can bring to the topic. So if we see a question in sister chat, for example, that, we see it's not getting answered, and, we send an email, come on, expert, weigh in, please.
Oh, that's a good idea. Articles.
Yeah, and then even on our Facebook groups, because we have groups that are specific topics, and we'll say, oh, there's a question out there that, certainly you know, those who, I can't answer every question. So we have the expert come in, or we have an article that we recommend. So it is a combination of, you know, those with the, just the personal experience, but then we have professionals that are able to weigh in and, you know, at least direct someone to the resources. Because we have so many resources, that's the great thing too, is that you can put in your the state that you live in, and then you can put the topic that you're interested in finding resources, and then we will, it generates resources for you to turn to. I'm quite passionate about it, so don't mean to interrupt.
Well, I'll tell you, everything that you're saying, truly valuable for women who are looking for help, the safe space. I bet these moms, you know, are growing through your platform. Is there anything that you've seen or you've heard or you've experienced about them in your network, or anything you've learned from them?
Well, one of the things I've learned is that they're doing an amazing job. I mean, that they're, you know, when you hear the responses to someone who's maybe just starting the journey, they're so thoughtful and they're so strong. And so one of the things I just want to say is that they're absolutely strong, amazing women doing a great job. Some of the things I've learned are a little tougher because we see, you know, who are the women who sign up as sisters. That's when you are able to engage in the site, not just, you know, check it like as a user. And we know that a number of those moms have children with special needs. They have children with learning disabilities. They do fight depression. They are often, you know, not everyone, but there's a higher percentage than I would have liked that have are leaving violent situations. You know, but there are also really amazing stories that have come out of the site. For example, we have a public assistance guide, and she wrote about returning to school as a single mom with two young children. And then we heard that she inspired a number of other women who then asked her, like, how did she do it? And then we wrote a couple pieces about universities and colleges that have childcare. So we really, it was just this great situation where, you know, Stephanie Land wrote about her experience and then other moms wanted to know more. And we know that that has a direct impact and they got information that they could use and apply it right away. So that was pretty great.
That's awesome. No, that's how you know that what you're doing is really working. With all the, I mean, you've definitely seen strong women, you're seeing success in the way that they're using and helping one another, you've got your experts there. What about the challenges? So I'm sure that, you know, moving from an academia background into the world of tech and being an entrepreneur, there are challenges along the way. So what have you experienced when you launched your site?
Well, I had no clue how much work it would be from the beginning. The learning curve has been tremendous.
Right.
I'm one of those people, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty smart. I could do this. But I had to learn so much about, you know, building a content management system. I had to learn about, you know, SEO, search engine optimization, social media, marketing, building a team, you know, there were just, you know, and when I think about these challenges, which were, you know, it's a steep curve. Like in academia, I didn't know any of these things. And I just dove in and tried to learn as much as I could. So now as I look at these challenges, I say, well, these are actually some of my greatest accomplishments.
You know, exactly. That is,
you know, if, for my kids who are looking at me like, Mom, you have trouble with the TV. I can't believe you're learning all this stuff. But it's been really exciting. But yeah, that's one of the biggest challenges. And the other is also the responsibility of, if I read someone in the middle of the night writing something that I feel that they really need help, you know, there's no way I'm going back to bed. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to direct them to the place that they can get help. So there is an enormous, you know, weight that I appreciate but it also does mean that I'm kind of obsessed. You know, it's always on my mind. I'm always thinking about what we can do better to serve this population and how can we, you know, how can I get immediate responses to them? So there is this huge responsibility that I've had to learn to take on. And I remember when the site first went live, I was terrified because I thought there'd be mistakes. And now I've learned that, yeah, there's probably mistakes every day, you know, whether it's grammar, a little thing that wasn't caught or a widget that didn't work. And so now I've calmed down, but I remember that first month, it's so public. And so, so many people are looking at it that was kind of terrifying, but I've gotten over it.
It's really hard. I mean, it's almost that 80% rule where I'd rather get it done at 80%. I know there might be some errors and things that we're going to fix. It's not going to be 100%, but we're still going to do it. Otherwise, it's never going to get out there. So it kind of sounds like, you know, but first of all, the responsibility, I think, is twofold for you. You know, as an entrepreneur and owning your own business, when it's yours, you're always on. But the nature of your business and what you said about the responsibility to the people and helping them, that literally is a 24/7, which begs a question. Are the women who are on your platform, are you finding that it is women from the United States, or do you have women all around the world? What do the demographics look like?
Yeah, predominantly women from the United States, but then I would say almost every day we see someone from England or Australia. So we do get women from other countries. All of our resources are in the United States, so we can't necessarily provide some nonprofits that would help someone outside the country. But
right.
In terms of the articles, you know, we have 100 articles a month that deal with a lot of different topics, and we see that women around the world are reading those. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
but
very cool.
I can't have the weight of the world. Let me just stick with the USA.
Exactly. Well, something tells me this is going to get out in a big way. You might have the weight of the world.
Right.
So there is a huge difference in, you sort of mentioned it, between the world of academia and the entrepreneurial world. And it even lies in the fact that just get it out and fix it. That is not the mindset when you are a professor. So is that the biggest difference for you? Or what is the biggest difference when it comes to those two worlds and you transitioning from one to the other?
You know, I think that is one of the biggest differences, the public nature of the site versus when you're a professor, you have a lot of autonomy and control. You know, you can write your lecture, and if it didn't go well, you know, next time you can come in and you can say, you know, maybe I wasn't as clear on that theoretical concept. You have a really personal relationship with your students. And here it is just, you know, building a larger world. Also the responsibility to my team. You know, we have 50 solo mom writers. We have, you know, programmers, and I have, you know, a content manager, et cetera. And everyone is so passionate about Esme that I feel like this has to do well, because for them, I've asked them to pour their heart into the site. And so
sure.
I didn't have to do that as an academic. I mean, I was really able to just, do the best job I could day to day in the university setting. But here it's, it feels like responsibility to the women that we serve and also the people who work for Esme. But one of the ways I really try to tackle this stuff is as an academic, you gather information. So what I did, my big question, before my focus groups, I went to entrepreneurs, I went to people that started websites, and I said, what were the main mistakes you made? Like, I don't need to make your mistakes.
That's good.
Right? I'll make my own mistakes. I don't need to make, need your mistakes.
Yeah, let me hear yours.
That was super helpful, because they were able to just say, yeah, here's where I screwed up. Here's where I went wrong. So I gathered a lot of that kind of information. And so I think that was helpful in the transition, just digging into that world that was so foreign to me. You know, I just was able to get a lot of great information. And, you know, I just used my network and said, you know, people who started a business. And people are so generous in giving me advice. And that was super helpful.
Well, bravo. You did a really good job. And that's so smart. Asking other people, what are your challenges? Because I don't want to make the same mistake. Good thinking. Okay, so Marika, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a very quick break to give some love to our sponsor. In the next segment, Marika will discuss the valuable lessons she's learned as an entrepreneur.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to Women Worldwide. I was just chatting with Dr. Marika Lindholm, the founder of ESME, which is a platform to help social moms, solo moms, face challenges. So, Marika, we covered a lot of ground talking about how you had the inspiration, you launched your platform, and part of that, you had mentioned that you had gone through a really tough time personally. You said that you had a blood disorder, and I was just wondering, and that you felt really vulnerable. When you went through that, what did you learn about yourself, maybe that you never knew that you could share?
Well, I definitely learned a lot. So one of the things I learned was that I was always so strong before and never asked for help and never... So I felt like I was just this, you know, strong woman that could move through the world kind of on my own, making things happen. And I really learned that I needed to ask for help. And so that vulnerability of like calling a friend and saying, you know what, I can't even feed my kids tonight. Can you take them out? And so that, I think that contributed to my empathy that I have for building the site. But then of course, coming through that, then I built strength. I mean, I really am so much stronger and so much stronger than I had imagined earlier. So even though I had this guise of like, oh, I'm a strong woman and feminist walking through the world, it wasn't until I actually became super vulnerable, became weak, and then, you know, clawed my way out of it by getting better, getting stronger, that I realized that, you know what, I probably wasn't as strong as I thought before, because now I feel a whole lot stronger and I feel just much more capable. You have to do so many things on your own. And we hear that all the time from moms, like, where they have to learn how to, you know, change a socket, you know, fix their car, do all the things that, you know, stereotypically might have been relegated to their spouse. So, I really do feel like it was a dramatic time and served me really well in terms of moving forward in my life and appreciating where I was going.
Do you think that women have trouble asking for help sometimes? Do you ever find that, or does that come up in topics on your site?
Yeah. In our office, it comes up all the time, and it comes up on the site because it came up in my focus groups, because literally it was like, well, why do I need a site? Why do we need help? I'm doing great. I don't, you know, and I'm like, okay. But then I would probe a little further and you saw that there was, you know, there wasn't as much self-care going on as there should have been. There were, you know, a lot of, you know, things happening that you realize that they could feel better and do better as moms if they accepted help or, you know, made some changes. So, yeah, one of the things is that, and we still laugh about it all the time because there's a bunch of solo moms in the office, and I'm like, no, I can pick up the kid for you if you need. Like, oh no, I can do it. I'm like, no, I don't need to. You know, so it's a huge challenge in terms of like selling the site too, because if you have a bunch of independent moms, I mean, our tagline is independent together, and we basically explain like we know you're, you know. Sorry, a badass, but we know you're strong, but we're much stronger together. So let's get all of these strong women together, and it could be so much more forceful and so much, you know, the connectedness of all of these different experiences is going to make for a much richer experience.
So, definitely. Well, I can see how, you know, through my own personal experience, I didn't like to ask for help when I was younger. I was in my 20s. But now I see asking for help as a strength. So I have a completely different picture of that. That is really interesting. So another question I wanted to ask you, did you ever think at any time when you were a professor and you were teaching that you were going to be an entrepreneur? Like, is this something that just, hey, I know you went through a lot of things and it made sense and you did your research, but was there ever a time when you were younger that you said, oh my gosh, I want to start my own business. I want to be on my own.
Not at all. Not remotely.
No.
I feel like it was a destiny that I had no awareness of because I was forging forward in academia. I was writing the academic articles, and then I was thinking, oh, I'd like to write creatively. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll write fiction. But never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd start a company. But then, it sort of grabbed me one day when we had moved. I moved my kids to a farm, and I was thinking about the next stage, and I knew I wanted to make positive change. And then it came to me, what can I do? This is some, going back to that seed that planted so long ago. And then once the idea hit, it just took over. Like, it just grabbed me and I was obsessed. I couldn't shake it. Yeah, I couldn't shake it. So yeah, I feel like it chose me, and it is the culmination of so many of my skills, because I love being able to apply sociology to the way, what assignments we give out and what topics we cover. I love the creative component that, being able to, bring in writers and poets. So, and just, I bet when I was a kid, I was probably seen as a little bossy.
Yeah.
the one who might.
Oh, that spells entrepreneur.
Right. So I think that, it puts together all the skills that I've acquired over the years. And so for me, it feels like I really found a place that I love, but no, had I ever imagined it? No, not at all.
That's really interesting. So if somebody were to ask you, now that you are an entrepreneur, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. I have this passion. I have this dream. I never thought about it before. What should I be like? What am I supposed to do? What are the characteristics that I need to focus on? What makes a great entrepreneur? What would you say?
Well, I say that a lot of the skills you get from being a mom apply, that you have to be flexible, you have to have a sense of humor, you have to be strong and resilient, you have to make, you have to adjust when something comes out of the blue, like say your kid suddenly presents something and you have to make an adjustment. But I would say, obsession, resilience, stick-to-itiveness, the things that, it's in the beginning particularly. For me, who wants to make positive change, in the beginning, it was so much about just building the foundation. And it felt frustrating because I was like, well, mm-hmm. I can't wait to get this thing going. But you have to really dig deep and make sure you're doing it the right way and do your research. And so it does require really a stick-to-itiveness and stubbornness. I would say that, entrepreneurs are pretty stubborn in that they have an idea, usually. We are pioneers in some way. It's an idea that's ahead of its time, so that, maybe other people don't see the vision, they don't get it. And so don't be deterred by that when people tell you, well, I don't really get it. You need to, if you feel in your heart that this is something that can happen and you figure out the way to do it and you just stay strong with it.
I think that also speaks to the skills of being a mom, that patience and perseverance. When you have children, they're not always going to act or do or say the things that you need them to say and do. So definitely patience and perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the things, when you're a new mom and everyone tells you, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And oh, I tried this. And you're going to get a lot of unsolicited advice, and you really need to filter that. You need to filter that because you can't, people are like, oh, you should have new bartering on your site and you should do this on your site. And we are building towards doing all kinds of great things, but you have to figure out what is the core mission and what are the first fundamental things that are going to serve, the people that you're creating creating your business for. And then you can build on that. So, there's just a lot of things that I noticed that I thought, oh, being a mom, and I have five kids, so no.
Oh my goodness.
I really did have to, you know, realize that there are going to be days where you just feel really demoralized. And, you know, I had a mom day like that yesterday, you know, and, you know, today it's all fine. And I just have to ride through those tough patches where you feel like, oh, is this ever going to, is this going to work? Is it going to happen? Same with your kids. I mean, you know, you'll have days where you're like, wow, I'm the worst mom. And then the next day,
yes, I remember those days.
Yeah. So, you know, I do think that the skills that, you know, mothering have, you know, that lends itself to that package that I was talking about earlier, all the things that, you know, brought me to this place to be able to do it. And, but yeah, I think anyone who has a passion to, I wholeheartedly recommend it. I mean, I feel so fulfilled with this project.
Well, you certainly gave a lot of good characteristics that I can relate to. I remember in a conversation that we had earlier, you said when you were a professor, you always wanted to do good in the world. So what does doing good look like today and in your future?
Well, today I feel like today more than ever, doing good is building bridges between different groups that are divided, building tolerance, creating empathy. So much of Esme is dedicated to the idea that moms from very different backgrounds, different cultural groups, different ethnic groups can help each other out and sort of challenging the isms that divide us, racism, et cetera. You know, I firmly believe that a mom who is perhaps upper middle class and just got divorced could get advice from someone who is economically challenged and been through situations where, you know, maybe that divorced mom suddenly faces them for the first time. So it really is about building connectedness between groups that normally might have stereotypes about each other and realizing that we all have something to contribute to the larger benefit of all these moms. And in general, of course, you know, I like to hope that my site and my teaching in the past was really about creating empathy and building tolerance. It is just something that I try to do in my own family and just extend it out as far as I can. And I do feel like today, right now, we have a pretty divided U.S. of A. And I feel
yes.
more than ever a site like Esme can make moms feel like they're not marginalized, they're not, that they're honored, that it doesn't matter where you come from or what you look like, that we are going to, you know, we're going to make you inspired and make you feel like you're doing a great job. And there are other moms that are going to be there to tell you the exact same thing. So
that's absolutely
what doing good is for me.
Well, that's wonderful. I think that should be, you know, hopefully everybody will do good that way. I'm thinking that, you know, when you bring together diverse cultures because people have had similar situations and they are connecting emotionally, that all of those barriers and stereotypes break down, that we all, you know, you would see people as people and we're all connected. So I think that's great.
I mean, there's tons of research that shows that what are the main things that humans want? Humans want to be loved. Humans want their children to get a good education. Humans want their families to be safe. I mean, really, fundamentally, we have so many things that connect us, and all of this other messiness sometimes gets in the way of doing that. And by just being in contact and having, you know, connection with people that you normally wouldn't, you start to break down those ideas in your head and you begin to, you know, see that we're more similar than we are different. And that was, I mean, so much of my coursework was about that. And it's kind of exciting now to see if I can get it going on a larger scale at Esme.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder, this is such a crazy question, but you know, there is also a rise of solo men parenting. Who's going to help them?
I know. In fact, I know two of my close friends that are widows, and you know, we talk about this. It is something that, you know, maybe one day we can have an extension on our site. But the issues that face solo moms are very distinctive. You know, if we think about, you know, the earning power of moms, we think about domestic violence. So it would be, I think it would be taking on too much for me to just be like, okay, all solo parents.
Let's just tack on men now.
Yeah. I do think that Right. And because of the confidentiality and the feeling of safety when you're vulnerable, I feel that right now it's really important to focus on the moms. And really, if you look statistically, it's overwhelmingly women. I mean, the Washington Post came out with stats recently that within the next 10 years, half of all children in the United States are going to be raised by a single mom at some point under the age of 18. Right. So it's large demographic. I know. And it will change. I'm not saying that at all 18 years, but at some point, half of all 18-year-olds will be raised by a single mom. So we really have to acknowledge that data and just, you know, that's where I'm working from. It's like the reality. And then, but, you know, we do have our Facebook groups are open to solo dads. So that we do, you know, when they try to sign up for our site, we'll say, well, we have Facebook groups and we have articles and we have support there. And then we also, you know, I'm trying to convince one of my friends who's solo dad to do a little extension for, you know, because that'd be fabulous.
The knees are
different and the reactions are different. They're not stigmatized. They're not, you know, seen as, you know, somehow less than. I mean, everyone often rushes to help them out when you're not necessarily always rushing to help out the single mom.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned your Facebook group. So I'm thinking social media is a big part of the way you collaborate, but also the way you promote and get the awareness out. Or are you taking advantage of social media?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've learned a lot. And we have, we have someone who handles social media for us. It's amazing. But we're on Facebook, we're on Pinterest, we're on Twitter. We actually also have on Medium, which is a site for where articles are published. So, we use, like I said, we have 22 Facebook groups that, deal with. We even have a lifestyle group, and we have a creative group for moms who want inspiration in terms of, you know, being creative. And like I said, those are open to allies as well. So the Facebook groups, you know, aren't necessarily, they don't have to all be solo moms. They might be, you know, allies of solo moms or people that, you know, a child of a solo mom is interested in it. So, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, huge for us. It's a whole new terrain that I had to learn about coming in at a little bit of an older generation.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you can be found in quite a few places, which is really good because there are solo moms everywhere and they're hanging out and getting information in different places. And it's all about where they want to congregate. So it's nice that they can find you and take advantage of Esme. What advice would you give to solo moms or any woman about, you know, being strong during tough times from what you've learned?
Well, one of the things that we already mentioned was, you know, be willing to ask for help. And as you pointed out, that is a sign of strength. That is not weakness. I often write about and talk about finding your tribe. When women get divorced or are widowed, they often find that their networks or their friendship circle kind of drifts away, unfortunately, because people feel awkward around, you know, they may decide with, you know, one side of the couple versus the other. So you'll find that maybe your support group is dwindling at the time when you most need it. So
that's
really
true.
Find your tribe. Find other moms that are raising kids on their own. And it doesn't have to be only on my site, of course, but, you know, there's ways to try to, in your community, or, you know, there's ways to try to find women in similar situations. And that goes even deeper. So, for example, you know, we have many articles by women who, were experienced domestic violence, and there's ways to, in groups, to find each other and get support. So you really want to connect with people who understand. And then I also, as a sociologist, say build your network, make your network as big as it can. You don't have to have all those people as best friends, but, you know, that soccer dad might help you with a pickup one day, or, there might be the mom that you can cry on her shoulder, but she's a mess too, so she can't help you out. But just continue to build your network. Use reciprocity, for example. Help someone out, and then that next time you can call in a favor. I often talk about being creative, and for solo moms, they have to really think creatively about how to save money, how to network, how to, get everything done that they need to do. You know, they've just 24 hours in a day, and they are responsible for everything. So, but I want to say that the most important thing is to practice self-care. And we have so many articles in our wellness section. I mean, women, they will compromise everything, their sleep, their, you know, the food that they're eating for their kids. I mean, they want so much for their children, which is admirable. However, if you don't take care of yourself, you don't get, you know, eat properly or, you know, get the exercise just to feel
or
better.
Or
go outside, look at nature. I mean, it will feel like too much. So if you have practiced self-care, you then can have the strength to really be the best mom you can be. And it'll get easier. You know, the stronger you feel, the better you take care of yourself, it will feel easier. So that's one of my main, I mean, self-care is huge.
Well, excellent advice, Marika. Last question, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and Esme?
Well, it's very easy because we're at esme.com, which is just ESME.com. And you can find Esme on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Medium. And, you know, you can write to us at contact.us@esme.com. Really simple. But, yeah, check us out. Read about the site. See if we're, you know, it's where all the cool moms hang out. So.
Good to know.
Well, exactly.
You know, everybody knows you can be a solo mom or you know a solo mom. So it's just great to know that resource is very close by. Marika, thank you so much for sharing your journey, your insights about solo moms, their strength, and, you know, your whole experience launching your platform. So thank you.
And thank you for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. I'd also like to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.